What if I told you there's a simple 60-second practice that can change everything? The way you think, the way you feel, the way you live. It can lift the pressure you put on yourself, the perfectionistic mindset you carry. It can stop food spirals in its tracks. It can shift how you talk to yourself, how you handle urges, how you navigate overwhelm, how you show up in relationships, and how you change the internal scripts you keep telling yourself that something's wrong with you, or that you don't have time, or that you need to fix yourself in order to create a beautiful life. The best part, you don't need a massive overhaul or a rigid plan to clear your schedule or add one more thing on your to-do list. You can begin exactly as you are, right here, right now, and it's called the Still Point Practice. So before we dive in, here's some research that points to why so many women stay stuck and what fuels the importance of this practice. According to the National Science Foundation, we think upwards of 60,000 thoughts a day, most of them running in the undercurrent, the unconscious mind. But here's the information that's really interesting in this stat. Of those 60,000 thoughts a day, 80% of those thoughts are negative. And 95% of those thoughts are the same thoughts we had the day before and the day before. That means that 4 out of every 5 thoughts are negative, and we're looping through the same 95 out of every 100 thoughts every single day. Our lives have become one big autopilot loop, thinking the same thoughts, feeling the same feelings, reacting in the same ways. I want you to think about where this shows up in your life. You eat the cookie, you feel guilty, you tell yourself you're failed. You argue with your partner, you shut down, you replay the fight in your head. You come home from work, you rip open the chips and wonder what's wrong with your lack of willpower. Subconsciously, we're moving through life in this autopilot living, and this is what I call living in an unmanaged mind. An unmanaged mind is a mind that just goes through the motions. Reacting to circumstances, running on autopilot, never questioning the stories we have in our own minds. Same things each day, spiraling, cycling back into self-sabotaging behaviors that you think make you think that something's wrong with you for not getting it together. And this is all happening by default. Default, by definition, is just something that's happening automatically. It's just happening by default, automatically. And the definition of default is something that happens automatically if we do not change it intentionally. And this is where the good news comes in. We can change it with intentionality. We can interrupt these patterns. We can move out of this statistic, this unmanaged mind, this 80% of our thoughts are negative, 95% are the thoughts we had the day before. We can move out of that. We can move out of the autopilot living and learn how to create a managed mind. And this is where the still point practice comes in. So, at the heart of this practice, I want to share a quote by Viktor Frankl, where he says, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space lies our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom." So, between stimulus and response, there's a space. Between trigger and spiral, a space. Between what happens and how I respond, there is a space. And he says, in that space lies our power to choose one response over another. This is that space, that pause. This is where the still point practice lives. It's in that space between the trigger and the spiral, between what happens and how I react. Have you ever given yourself this space, a moment, a pause between trigger and spiral, between what happened and how you respond? What happens when you offer yourself a moment to pause and breathe and let that space just hang there before deciding what to do next? Before we automatically agree with those well-worn pathways that tell you, "This is just the way it's going to be. I don't have time. It's too hard to stop eating junk food. If it's not perfect, it doesn't count. I can't take a break. I can't rest." Or I can't sit down to eat lunch because you tell yourself there's just no time. When we pause, those autopilot thoughts start bubbling to the surface. And I'm curious what would shift for you if you inserted a 60-second pause, or maybe for you, 3 to 5 slow, deep breaths, and create a moment of stillness between the trigger and the spiral. Stillness is the origin of the still point. Stillness is defined as a calm, quiet, motionless state, free of movement or changing of anything. Think about that. Can I give myself 60 seconds of stillness, this calm, quiet, motionless state, before responding? This quiet, calm, motionless state signals to us, I have time before I react. I'm going to give myself a moment before I choose my response. We're not conditioned to this pause. We're conditioned to move quickly to the next thing. Hurry, hurry, time is running out. We got to do this and we got to do it now. Everything is immediate these days. If you've noticed, the texting, right? The ping of the text, the email, the same day delivery, DoorDash. We've gotten so used to living in this space, in this quick fix, this hustle, this fast pace, go-go living, keep things moving, this way of living. And so that's what we do. We keep going, we keep moving quickly, quickly to react to everything. And think about where this shows up in the triggers when you feel the stress rising. A lot of us will run to the pantry to seek food for relief. We get triggered in a conversation. What do? Maybe it's checkout, cold shoulder, eye roll. Maybe the teenager yells, you yell back. You even just look at a drive-through and your car basically just turns into the parking lot for you. Or when you come home, what are your automatic patterns? Maybe it's you just walk right to the pantry and you take out a bag of chips and you rip it open. Not even thinking about it, it's just so mindless. Or you look at your to-do list and you immediately feel the overwhelm, which leads to a sense of becoming short or impatient or irritable. You look in the mirror and immediately you hear an inner critic. It's just right there, critiquing every roll, every wrinkle, or every flaw. You eat the thing you said you weren't going to eat, and quickly, all of a sudden, it's like, I got to skip a meal. I got to go out for an extra mile to burn it off, right? And something happens, and we just automatically react. We're not even paying attention. It's just happening. That 95% loop on autopilot every single day. We do this all day long. And then it fuels evidence for ourselves like, see, I have no willpower. See, I can't do it. See, I'm too busy. I have no time. This isn't going to work for me. It's too hard. It takes too much work. And we fuel it with all this evidence based on our something happening and us reacting. And I was just with a client this morning, and she is carrying around the expectation as a mom that. As a mom, she has to keep it together. She's like, I got to keep everything going. I got to get everyone where they need to be. And mom always has to be okay. That's what she said. There's no room for her needs. And the interesting thing here, just in her situation, that these kids are nearly grown. One is engaged, one is in college, one's about to graduate. And she's still carrying around the expectations as a mom that she needs to be everything for them. And she's carrying around the same expectation she had when they were like 2. So we just sat with that for a moment. And I said to her, how does it feel when I repeat back to you what your expectations are? And I shared them with her, right? I wrote them down, keep it together, get everyone where they need to be. Mom always has to be okay. And she said, it all feels so heavy. I feel like I'm carrying around so much weight and I'm on all the time. And the irony for her is that this is a woman who has dealt with weight challenges her whole life. And when we're listening to this, she's realizing she's carrying around more than just physical weight. She's dragging around expectations that are creating emotional and mental weight too. So, yes, over this last bit of time in the membership, we've used the tools and the food foundation in the membership to guide her with her physical weight. She's lost 25 pounds. She feels well. But now it's like, how do we keep moving? We're realizing a lot of this mental weight too. So, using the still point filters, I gave her a couple of questions to ponder as it relates to her storylines, right? We can't change the story if we're not willing to pause and listen to what she's carrying around, like what's driving how she moves and feels through her days. So, what can you start doing today? I propose that we practice the pause. You will find many moments of stimulus response. Something happens, I react, trigger, spiral. And today, before you react, I want to offer that you practice the pause. I'll give you a personal example. This was several years ago. We were going through a challenging time with one of our boys. He was yelling and talking back, not listening. And initially, I found myself really worked up, like reacting whenever he would do this. I would yell back or I would raise my voice. I would get really frustrated. I'd immediately be thinking a lot of thoughts like, he's being so disrespectful, and I'm not raising a son to talk to his mom this way or anyone this way. And if he's talking to me like this, where else is he doing this? And I mean, I was even, 10, 20 years down the road, like he's not going to have anyone around him if he treats people like this. Like I was going way far in advance. And so this is what I started doing. I started inserting a pause. 60 seconds. He'd yell, I'd breathe. He'd say words, and I decided I would stay calm for 60 seconds. I'd breathe and breathe again. And this was my first task. To not react in those first 60 seconds, to just breathe. Can I stay calm for 60 seconds? And I would breathe and I would keep my mouth closed and I would just let that space be there. I would let it hang, even though I wanted to say the things and I wanted to react and I wanted to do it. It was such a practice of discernment for me. But that practice did more for me. And for our relationship than I could ever communicate to you. All because I chose that 60-second pause. And I'll get to what I did in that pause in just a moment, but I want you to think about your own triggers. When you have an urge, before you have the food, before you go to seek the relief, first, I want you to pause. I want you to take 3 to 5 slow, deep breaths. This is the hardest part of the practice, honestly, but it is the most important. Maybe you feel pressure rising, the stress is spiking, and you're about to bulldoze through something, but I want you to first take a pause. I want you to take 3 to 5 slow breaths. You start to totally isolate and check out after a hard interaction. Before you do that, I want you to first pause. I want you to get back in your body and take 3 to 5 slow, deep breaths and get yourself back online before you check out. You know you want to exercise. I hear this from so many of my clients, but in the moment, they're like, I don't feel like it. Before you decide whether or not to do it, I want you to pause. And you're about to go through the drive-thru on your way home, even though you know you have a dinner waiting for you that's nourishing for you, pause. What this pause is a place where autopilot reactionary living ends and intentionality begins. It's the place where you remember, I have choice with how I relate to this moment. I have choice with what I do in this moment. I don't have to keep doing it the way I've been doing it, even if it's been decades. I can choose differently, and I have time before I decide to respond. So, okay, we talk about pausing, right? And you're like, Jill, well, then what? Then what? What do I do in that 60 seconds? So, I want to talk about the heart of this pause, where the still point practice lives. In that moment of the pause, there are 5 filters. So, what is the role of a filter? A filter's role is to remove impurities, right? If we have a filter in place for our water filter or our air filter, right? It acts as a barrier and it slows down what comes through and only allows what's needed to pass through. Right? And so the same with like okay, so for with our water filter, or air filter in our home, over time, what happens with that filter? It is collecting the unwanted particles and debris and dust and dirt and all these things that we don't want circulating, right? We want clean air. We want clean water. And when we clean those filters out, we realize just how much they've been holding on for us, right? I have an air doctor filter in my home, and every few months, my husband opens it up, and we're always amazed at really how gross it is. Actually, it's caked, like literally caked with dust and dirt and particles. We didn't even know we're there. And it's a reminder of just how much that filter is doing for us, quietly working in the background to keep our air clean and clear. And the filters that we use in the still point practice work so much in the same way, right? It acts as a barrier between what is coming in and what we allow to get through. It slows down our reaction to everything happening around us. So while the pause is the interruption of that autopilot, that reaction, the filters are what guide us through the moment. They guide a new way of seeing something, a new of way of relating to the moment, a new way of responding. So back to the example with my son, he's yelling, getting worked up, and I would take a pause. And in that 60 seconds, basically telling myself I can let this be here for a moment and allowing more resourcefulness for like how I want to be in that moment, how I want to work in that moment. And I would add one of the filters that I offer in the still point practice. And in this case, for me, it was a question. And the question that I would ask in this pause as he's just, having his way is, I wonder what's really going on for him. What's underneath all this yelling? Right? Is there something else going on that's coming out in this behavior of yelling? And in addition to that, pre-deciding ahead of time that I want to stay calm in this moment, I want to be the calm, grounded presence for him and let him express this for this moment before I respond. So I'm going to breathe in the pause. I'm going to breathe and I'm going to give him this moment. And the question was, I wonder what's really going on for him. Like, is there anything here that I can't see? I am telling you that that pause changed everything. Now, we're several years, 4 or 5 years out of this beginning of this experience with him. And I have used this with him over and over. And it has helped me maintain connection with him. Because my yelling was just further disconnecting myself with him, right? And I've watched how this has created our relationship differently. He comes to me with his concerns. He knows I'll listen. He knows I won't judge and I won't interrupt. Maybe we have consequences of certain things, sure, but not in that moment. And the things that I learned about him and myself too in my pausing was far more beneficial than I would have. Than would have if I had been reacting. I learned about his friendships and his feeling lack of belonging and place and what was really going on underneath the surface for him. And I wouldn't have gotten the knowledge of that had I just reacted. The power of this practice has kept us close and it has allowed me to be a more calm, connected mom. And I want to be that with him. And it has helped me navigate some really tough moments with more grace and more ease than I knew I had capacity for. And it's not just even in this scenario with him. This has also been the way that I have learned how to reconnect with myself and understand what's really going on underneath my reactions and what I do and the things I find myself doing. Instead of assigning a meaning or a storyline to them, I can pause and be like, I wonder what's going on under here. So, when you start using these filters, you'll notice this too. You have to start with the pause, and then we ask these filters, and it begins to change your life, how you relate to your life, how you reconnect with yourself, how you talk to yourself, how you handle overwhelm and stress differently, the level of drama that you allow, how you navigate urges and emotional eating, and the here I go again moments. And especially how you respond to situations that don't go as planned. Because they don't go as planned, things come together and they fall apart, and they come together and they fall apart. And the still point practice allows us to be like to relate to that moment differently. Who do I want to be in that moment? And this is how I've reoriented my whole own life from overwhelm and stress, from my diagnosis with Lyme. In the meaning that I make about certain things to a rhythm and a posture that is far more calm and grounded and connected. So, this is what I want for you too, more calm, more grounded, more connected, less pressure, more presence, less performance, more honesty, less numbing out, more connection. And before we wrap up, I want to share the story about this, the power of just 60 seconds. Years ago, when I had an office space downtown, one of my clients used to be late for every single session. She worked just 3 minutes away from my office, but she would come flying in 5 minutes late for every session. She'd come flying in like a tornado. And she'd be talking before she sat down, and her energy was frantic and scattered and blah, 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 blah. And she'd be talking fast and she would be breathing fast, right? And every time I would gently say, yeah, okay, let's get to that in just a moment. But first, let's just take a moment and ground ourselves in this space and let's just breathe for a moment. And I'd invite her to close her eyes. And together we would take a few deep breaths. Within 30 seconds, her disposition would start to shift. And within just a minute, just 60 seconds, the woman who rushed into my office and the woman sitting in front of me were two totally different women. She'd talk slower, she'd breathe slower, and every single time she'd say, oh, Jill, I feel so much better. I forgot how good it feels to take moments like this to pause and breathe. And we were able to have a more, better conversation, and her whole disposition gave her the opportunity to have a different type of conversation than being in constant reaction that she was living in. And that's the power of the 60-second pause. And the best part is you don't need my office to do it. You can breathe and you can pause at any moment. And then, when you apply the still point filters that I share with you, you can watch things literally begin to shift in moments. I don't care if you're 10 cookies deep or you catch it on the front end, it just doesn't matter. You can pause at any time. You can pause the spiral. You can interrupt the story. You can rewrite any pattern and you can choose a new way. So many women I talk to are walking around with mental scripts keeping them stuck. And I've shared a couple in earlier episodes, but there are so many that are so subtle that we just believe they're true. Like, I'll never be able to do this. I can't be happy until I lose the weight. I don't have time. I can't do this until I have time. I can't rest. I can't take care of myself the way I want to. And these are just mental constructs we've agreed to, but they're not actually true. We just have said them over and over and over again that they just become something we believe to be true. But what the still point practice does is it allows you to pause and listen. And with these filters, challenge a new way forward using the filters that I'll lay out for you. This is not about perfection. It's not about getting it right. It's not about relating to yourself differently. It is about relating to yourself differently. It is about meeting the moments differently than what you've been conditioned to do. And it starts with that moment where you pause between stimulus and response, between what happens and how you react. And the still point practice has the power to change anything for you. I just got an email yesterday from one of my members after she walked through the entire still point practice. And she's like, Jill, I just finished the still point practice and I loved it. She said, this is such a legacy class. And she went on to say the membership classes are a part of the legacy, but the still point practice is a transformational class. And she said, it's a practice that will be living. I will be living beyond your years. It will. She said, I will use it today when my 4-year-old is tantruming and all the ways in between that I need to pause in my day. This practice is so good. This is my hope in putting the still point practice into the world. I know it's been helpful for me and I want to offer it to you. Creating transformation in your eating story, your overwhelm story, your relationships, how you show up as a mom, daughter, wife, friend. Lifting the pressure and perfection you load onto yourself, stopping food spirals in their tracks, and those decade-old stories that you think nothing will ever change for you, but it can. It can change, and it begins with this pause, one pause at a time. If you want to learn the full scope of this practice and begin living into it as your own rhythm, come and join me right now inside the Nourished Woman Lifestyle, and you will get immediate access to the Still Point practice. You can look in the show notes for the link, and you can join me today.